FYI, they didn't name you, but I do believe Constantine and Rogan are discussing you here. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
True. Yeah.
But also, we're talking about that actually matters.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And it deserves to be taken seriously.
Yeah. Well, the answer is don't engage with those certain people.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. Whatever you can do to be in your hug box. Yes. Whatever you can do to stay in your hug box because you're too stupid, you're too inept, you're too incompetent a speaker, you can't find the right moderation, you can't find, for whatever reason, you just can't engage. True.
Learning that.
Yeah, we were having a conversation about one particular individual where I'm like, why?
Yeah.
Don't bother.
I can't believe he's...
He's so ass-pained. I love how ass-pained this little guy is about me. Thank you. Yes. Be ass pained.
People.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm learning that.
Yeah, we were having a conversation about one particular individual where I'm like, why?
Yeah.
Don't bother.
I can't believe you. I didn't say anything about that discussion because I was just, I don't want anyone to waste their time watching it. It was
because he was embarrassed, because he was humiliated, because I did 2 weeks barely of the UK research imaginable, and that was enough to put this guy the fuck away who's lived in this country with his criminal family's entire life, basically, since he was 6 years old. What an unbelievable loser. Oof.
Why?
Yeah.
Don't bother.
I can't believe you. I didn't say anything about that discussion because I was just, I don't want anyone to waste their time watching it. It was awful.
I'm fascinated by that too, though, because I'm fascinated by these people that are doing that, where they're just trying to win and use tricks and be sneaky.
Tricks and sneaky. What was that part of the debate where he's like, this is what you do, you're a debate talker? So I'm like, what, ask you to define a word? He's like, yes.
I've worked out the tricks that you play, and so I've trapped you in your own logic.
And to be clear, the trick that I just played was asking you for the definition of a term.
Yes.
Okay, gotcha. All right,
that's
my bad.
Right. That's
I know
right.
That we don't like that here.
Exactly
okay,
right.
My bad. Okay, go
that's
ahead.
Exactly right.
Okay.
Like, they think of discourse in a completely different way.
Right.
They think about the whole thing.
Yeah, like you actually have a critical conversation where both sides are challenging each other to, you know, further the arguments they're making, so you get past the level one talking point circle jerks that you guys engage in 4 hours of podcast. What is this? Is their seventh time? I think I saw them tweet this is the seventh time they've been on the show? Jesus.
Completely different way. They're completely ideologically captured. And they're the place they're starting from is, I want to prove this to be correct, not I want to know why this person believes it to be incorrect, and I want to find out if maybe we have common ground, and maybe they know something I don't, or maybe I know something they don't. Let's find out.
You know what I really want? And Constantine and I have talked about it a lot. I want somebody on the left to come up and be brilliant at debating and go to people on the right, well, you say this and you say this, but actually, let's look at this, let's look at that, and be a genuine intellectual force. And what I despair of is I haven't seen anyone be from the left like that in basically a generation.
I think the generation that you're talking about has been captured by some certain narratives that you have to agree to that aren't rational. So as soon as you do that and you align yourself with this particular ideology, you're already saying, I'm willing to believe some shit that doesn't make any sense at all, because this is the only way to be accepted by my tribe.
The projection on this is crazy. For a man that has made so many bad predictions about politics, like the audacity to get up here and discuss the intellectuality of literally anybody that would disagree with you politically, like, it's unbelievably shameless.
Actually compromises you, and that also I think humiliates you in a certain way. It puts you in a position where you're saying something that you know can't be true, so you set up blind spots.
Do you think they know it's not true?
I think there's gotta be.
It's also crazy as well, because you can tell how weak they are on the topics. Hassan does this as well, where they do the Voldemort game. They don't want to name the person, they don't want to name the debate. Like, think about the talking points that these guys use, right? Like, you should be able to, it's up to you to watch, and it's up for you to evaluate. Like, you need to arrive at the truth. Like, you should be able to watch any two people and figure out what's going on. But for this, guys, listen, you don't want to watch that guy. And by the way, he's not even saying don't watch me, right? He's saying don't watch me talk to that guy. He's saying don't watch Constantine talk to him. So the conversation was so it's not even like you can't be trusted to watch my YouTube video on its own, which maybe, you know, if the guy's a crazy propagandist, fine. You don't want to just watch a shit on your own. You need somebody there to challenge him. Even Constantine challenging me is not worth watching. Holy shit.
Part of them that realizes there's a good argument that it's not true. You know, especially when it comes to, like, transgender stuff or border stuff. There's certain things where, like, there's no real good faith argument that you should have an open border and allow any psychopath to come across the border and invade your community. That seems crazy.
Like, just, it's so, like, the circle jerking is so boring. It is so typical of, like, weak-minded people. Like, he's talking about how, you know, they can't even understand our positions, or nobody on the left. What did the puppet guy who never actually says anything but just smiles awkwardly next to Constantine the whole time? Like, I wish there was a guy on the left who would actually take our positions and treat them seriously. And then Joe Rogan's like, can you believe these guys? They want psychopaths to come across the border and murder citizens. Yeah, bro, like, that's, yes. Like, who the fuck is open borders, right? Like, they said that for something. Who the fuck is open borders? The whole Kamala meme was, do not come. Do not come.
To folks in this region who are thinking about making that dangerous trek to the United States-Mexico border, do not come. Do not come.
Like,
That seems crazy. Like, if you understand anything about human nature and the nature of the world and the level of poverty and crime that exists outside of the United States, particularly in third world countries, we're just allowing
I thought you were talking about Canada there, Joe.
I'm all for them invading. They should come over. They should bail on their country until it gets better.
I just ask you because I would find it so hard to go on stage in front of, well, what is now hundreds of thousands of people by the time it goes on the internet, right? Mm-hmm. And just vigorously defend something I didn't believe.
Well, that's what did I defend that I didn't believe, though? We didn't even get to talk about it because you have such a lack of understanding, a grasp of literally any of the subject matter that you can't even have the conversation. And even when they go on these podcasts, they don't have the conversation. They vibe slop the whole thing. They just speak in generalities and vagaries, and they don't like really say anything. Just like the most base level talking points. Like, can you believe some people want little boys to chop their dicks off and then they think they're just like real girls? Can you believe that these people want murderers to run across the border and murder everybody? And like, and it's like, wow, what a great engagement with the other side, bro. You're so smart. I wish I understood human nature as well as you do.
You're smart. And I think the problem is a lot of these people aren't really intelligent. What they are is a person who has a good vocabulary, who's acquired a certain amount of technique and skill involved in.
Holy cope! This guy's talking about me like I'm a debate assassin. What the? I have a certain set of skills. Skills that people like you will come to dread or whatever. Jesus!
Is a person who has a good vocabulary, who's acquired a certain amount of technique and skill involved in talking really fast and spouting things that they've seen online, mm-hmm. that are a bunch of narratives. Like, one of the things that people love to do is, if you're talking to anyone that's on the right, they want to say, you know, you support a 34-time convicted felon, and you know, there's a lot of things that they like to say. There's techniques involved, right. Instead of like discussing. Anybody that looked at the actual Trump case, if you're rational and you're on the left, you say, that's a crazy case.
Bet my life and the life of every single person that is even 1% related to my bloodline that if you were to ask Joe Rogan to explain the Trump New York State case, he wouldn't be able to do it, by the way. He absolutely wouldn't be able to do it. He'd have no idea.
There's no way that should be a felony. It's not a felony. They're 34 different misdemeanors, and it's past the statute of limitations. This is the craziest, egregious misuse of justice. Mm-hmm. And the scary thing is, if someone on the
why were they upgraded to felonies, though? Does he know why? I don't think so.
Right gets in, they decide to do that to someone to laugh
at. And I don't think you could describe him at all. I don't think so. These are talking points that he's saying, by the way. What he's giving are talking points. They weren't even felonies. Like, these were supposed to be misdemeanors. Like, it was an artificial case. But, like, he's giving, like, the narrativized talking points.
You got to put your foot down. Mm. Stop that from happening. Mm. The Russia stuff. Right. Like, all that stuff, the Russiagate stuff. Like, that's kind of crazy that someone on the left doesn't call that out and say, hey, guys, this is dangerous, because if you're lying and you're having intelligence agencies lie and you're having people lie on television and you're just accepting that, why? Because it's your side? That's
why.
Your side?
That's why.
That's crazy.
Yeah. That's why. And I find that very strange, because what they do is they pivot to that,
mm-hmm.
which is not relevant to the conversation we're having.
Exactly.
We're talking about, you know, is it right to do these strikes on Iran, or is it this, or is it that? Is, you know, what's the situation in the Middle East or whatever? How does bringing up Trump's convictions or otherwise change that? It doesn't affect that
at
conversation.
All. Yeah,
or
all.
The border, or the trans thing, or any of the other things.
No.
And that's the thing, is like, can we just argue the point?
Well, I think at a certain point in time, you're going to have to choose real opponents. It's like the Jake Paul thing.
but see, I want the
real... Who are your real opponents, though? Like, if not me... I'm willing to meet in the middle on more than probably any other crazy lefty person. I'm probably the only person, large category on the left, that actively fights with so many other left-leaning people. Not the only one, that's not fair to say. But, like, I'm one of the only who's willing to fight with so many of these people. Like, my positions on most of these topics, I think, would be fairly reasonable. I'm not going to have a crazy position on immigration, or a crazy position on trans people, or crazy positions on taxation or welfare. And if you can't even engage with me on the subject matter, who the f*** are you looking for?
Opponents,
right,
but
where are they?
Where are they?
Right,
and we've had people on the show where it's like, we had this woman from the Guilty Feminist podcast, and she came on, and we gave it four...
A woman from the Guilty Feminist podcast. That's who? Okay.
30 minutes, she basically laid out her whole vision. And it was respectful and polite, and it was a great conversation, actually. The moment I said, well, you know, you've been speaking for the time, here's some of the things that I see that don't make sense in my head, can you help me out? Immediately goes personal.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's what Francis is saying. Like, I'd love to see people who have an ability to argue the point.
Yeah.
And that's what Dave does. He argues the point, and that's either persuasive to you or...
What? I could have killed this guy. I was staring at him the whole time.
Well, I think the problem is their point is not very good.
Yeah. I think that is the problem.
Yeah. And so you have to go personal. You have to attack people. You have to use ad hominems. It's the only way you can get anything off. And then you could try to get that person emotional and trap them.
So why don't they change their opinion then?
Unless you count me saying that I think he's a Republican personal. I'm pretty sure he was the first one to do a personal attack on me. I'm pretty sure he was, but... Okay.
It's a good question, because if you're ideologically captured, especially if you're on the left, like, it's a very clear ideology, and there's like real blowback for deviating from it.
Yeah,
as we know, right? Because the moment you say, well, you're no longer on the left anymore.
Right. I do want to say that it's funny that 10 years ago, every single time I would debate, assassinate one of these loser conservatives, they would all run to their little cope sessions. It's funny to see these people doing it on the largest podcast in the world. I will say that. That's pretty funny. Absolute clown.
Yeah. Right? Well, a lot of people have been kicked out of it.
Yeah.
A lot of people have been pushed into some weird quasi homeless land.
Well, that's how we all ended up as like right wing. It was like, f off with this.
Yeah.
You know, when I, 20 years ago, all the stuff that we talk about, it wasn't just like not right wing. No one questioned. Do you remember, like, did you remember 25 years ago people running around going, we need an open border?
Who says that now? Who says that? Who has that position? What are we talking about?
Right.
No. Or like you can change your sex by just going like abracadabra.
Right.
No one said that.
Right.
And so we went right wing for like going, that's crazy.
I know.
You know, the most bizarre thing is watching all these kind of left wing lesbian feminists can be described as right wing and getting kicked out.
J.K. Rowling's and that's
it. Martina Navratilova.
There's a journalist called Julie Bindle, used to write The Guardian, one of the most left-wing journalists, and she's a lesbian, and she criticized, like, and she was like the trans movement. That was it, out the door. Doesn't matter what you've done before. It doesn't matter you've done all this incredible work with women in female prisons.
Well, it's because it's a cult. I mean, it's essentially like a religious ideology.
Yeah, tell
like,
us about cults.
They will not take any heretics, like anybody that deviates from whatever their doctrine is, like you're out.
Oh,
you're out
really?
Forever. And that scares people. So that's one of the reasons why they're willing to comply and follow some of this goofy shit and say, no one's legal on stolen land.
Mm. Yeah.
What's interesting is it doesn't happen on the right nearly the same way. Like you can see it.
How can you say this shit with a straight face? Like, there was a Joe Rogan episode where he has one conspiracy theorist on that is consoling another conspiracy theorist about his conspiracy theory, and both of them are schizos. Like,
in the center,
like
you're
this
one
crazy.
Of his curvilinear octahedral structures.
Like,
interact.
Both of these men think they have solved, like, the whole physics unification of the universe. They have two totally different theories. They have both have reasons why all of academia and the deep states are pushing against them, and they're both consoling each other
and
about their what the f***? Like, if that's not the definition of a cult, what the f***?
Now, the right is engaged in a fierce debate internally.
Mm-hmm.
And the people you and they hash it out and then they like they go have a beer afterwards.
I think they're
doing you're engaged in a fierce debate because you guys were such a cult. You guys were such a cult that had no principles behind any of the you argue about at all, and now it's all flying apart at the seams because the president of peace renamed the Department of Defense the Department of War. You said that was a troll like every other in the world, and now we're at war with Iran for the second time in 2 years.
And it just the same way.
Just the same?
I think it's a bile. I think it's a human thing. Yeah, I think there's people on the right that do it just the same way. There's people that call people out for not being MAGA enough, you know?
Yeah.
It's just like right now the whole thing's in turmoil, whereas there's not really the same kind of turmoil on the left where there's internal debate. The turmoil on the left is the left.
There's no internal debate on the left. Like, this is, like, unhealthy. Like, this is unhealthy levels of delusion, I think. Jesus.
Versus the right.
Yeah.
The turmoil on the right now, I think there's a lot of people right versus right, and they're trying to find out, like, and I think there's a lot of people that they don't believe what they're saying either. They're just trying to find a thing that aligns with the biggest audience.
I think that's definitely happening. I also think, though, internal debate within a big, broad church movement is a good thing, because what you're arguing about is, like, what is the right direction?
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
And I do think that is more healthy.
Yeah.
I think working out what it is that like, whatever, if you're on the right, we believe.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not on the right, but as I see that, I do think that's a healthy thing to do, because you're arguing about the direction of that movement.
Yeah.
And I think that's much healthier than what happens on the left, where it's just like, well, if you don't agree with this wacky idea that's far, far out there, then you're no longer part of this.
But I think the good thing about these debates is it exposes that. And anybody who's objective, especially anybody that is, you know, a swing voter, or anybody who's in the middle of all this, which is a lot of people.
Most people, I think, right?
Yeah, most people are kind of in the middle on most political issues. They get to see how crazy some of this is, and it makes them less likely to follow.
You know, but it's also, as well, from a neutral perspective, and I mentioned the point about I want a strong left. I want a strong left which has got good ideas about how to tackle things which are really important, like inequality,
mm-hmm.
like cost of living.
Mm-hmm.
How do we make it that people can actually have a better standard of life? Where if a woman wants to stay at home with her kids, she can do that, which they're not for, then have to go out and have to work and put the kids in daycare, which then leads to a whole host of problems. How can we have a better world for ordinary people, which is what the left always used to be?
Yeah.
We need a strong left to then challenge the right so that the center becomes a more fertile ground.
Yeah.
And if we don't have that, if we have these crazy loons on the left, then what we have is a right which will come to dominate, which I don't think is good for society as a whole. I'm going to be honest with you.
No, it's never good.
A right which will come to dominate? Which will? What, they're not here already?
One
know it's a Democratic
party,
shutdown.
Left or right, is completely dominant. It's not good.
No, you need checks,
yeah.
Right? And, you know, the right has its share of crazies, too, as we've been talking
100%. About. Praise Jesus. All right, we got to wrap this up. Gentlemen, I love you guys.
Apparently they complain about something here.
Right.
It was so refreshing. Last time we came here, we had Dave Smith on our
show. Oh, wait, this was like a few minutes earlier. What?
Show. I don't know if you saw that one.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
So refreshing.
We loved
Dave Smith on.
We loved it. And Dave enjoyed it. And
Dave Smith, by the way, who has now completely walked back on his Trump support, who has said that Kamala Harris would have been a better president. Crazy how, with all his politicking, as ingenious as this guy is, reads more books than anybody ever knows, smartest guy I know, CIA op, is now just somehow realized, the Trump not that good, actually. The Trump not Kino. The Trump actually kind of bad. Wow, welcome to 5 years ago when everybody realized this, you moron.
And, you know, it was weird because we obviously have lots of different perspectives on things, but afterwards a lot of people were like, oh, I can't believe you had Dave on. And I said to all of them, listen, Dave's only crime.
Do people like this even gain anything by claiming they're not on the right? Is it just so they can have friends say, I don't only have right-wing people, I have this kind of... No, because there's an aesthetic of being neutral. There's an aesthetic of neutrality, of I'm not on the right or the left. I'm superior to both. I consider both sides.
Is that he has a different opinion to you. Because right. Apart from that, he comes in, he shows up, he's super nice, he's respectful, he's polite, he doesn't do any dirty tricks.
Right.
He doesn't argue about the definitions of words that for 10 minutes, right? He just goes, here's my opinion, here's your opinion.
He's so ass-pained.
Let's discuss.
Yeah.
And that's how conversations should happen.
Like, this weird bastardization of conversation that these weak losers are jerking off, that a conversation, like what they're talking about is definitionally not a conversation. They want one side to say a bunch of things and then the other side to say a bunch of things. And you don't actually engage back and forth with anything their side is saying. It's just both sides make a statement and then over and over and over again until you guys have kind of like cummed in each other's mouths over and over again, and then you're done and then you go on to the next thing.
Right.
But so much of the debate stuff now is not, people aren't discussing the issues. They've just like decided you're a bad person. Right. And that's what they're trying to achieve. They're trying to get a cheap laugh from the audience that they're playing to, who's not even in the room, because they know their followers are going to watch it online afterwards and be like, oh, he owned him. But where did we get to?
Well, it's just, it's just some people that are doing that, you know, and those people, that's all they can do. That's why they do it that way.
Right.
You know, if they were really intellectually compelling, and if they were like smart people, like I don't want enemies. Like if I can have a sane, rational, peaceful discussion with someone where we disagree with something, I would greatly prefer that.
Yeah.
Than have someone who's insulting me and I'm insulting them. We're trying to like get off on each other. Like why?
Yeah.
I'm busy.
Yeah.
I have things to do. Like I don't need.
You're busy. You have things to do. Motherfucker, this is your job. What are you talking about? What do you mean? This is what you do. What? What?
That kind of bullshit in my life, and I don't mind when someone disagrees with me. I think it's healthy. I also want to know why you think the way you think, genuinely.
Do you regret going baby mode on him at the end because he started arguing with people in the audience? I think I had an appropriate level of pressing him. Maybe I could have gone slightly a smidge harder, but I think it was fine. He got to... There's enough footage of him just sitting there with his legs crossed and the mic in his lap and him being a little baby. I think it was an appropriate level of pressure.
Right.
I you know what I see it as an opportunity as like, because we all have blind spots.
Yeah.
We all have blind spots. We all have biases. I don't care who you are, how smart you are. You have biases.
Not
you have
me.
Blind spots. Not me, mate. I know everything.
Yeah.
But when someone goes, well, actually, Francis, you say this, but what about this? Have right. you thought about this? Have you read about this? I'm like, no. Right. And it's like, well, maybe you should.
Right.
And maybe you actually... Maybe won't change your opinion, but certainly have a more nuanced opinion.
Nuance.
Yeah. But also, we're talking about
shit. They use this word nuanced as well to as a stand-in for to have it so nobody is right or wrong. Like, they talk about nuance, but what they really mean is I just don't want to have, like, a definitive answer at the end of this conversation for who was actually correct and incorrect. Why are people dying out there?
That actually matters,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it deserves to be taken seriously.
Yeah. Well, the answer is
okay. That's where we were. Quick meme.
Interpret DEI.
What is this?
How do you interpret DEI? There was the EO explicitly laid out the details.
These were the DOGE employees that were.
I'm asking for your understanding of it.
Yeah, my understanding was exactly what was written in the EO.
Okay. So can you?
I don't remember what was in the EO.
So right now, do you have an understanding of what DEI is?
Yeah.
Okay. So what's your understanding as you say?
Okay, this is a little bit bullshit because the person asking the question is kind of playing a debate trick. by asking for definitions. So, okay, be nice.
And here today.
To this poor guy.
In this deposition. Well, it was exactly what was written in the EO. And so any time that we would look at a grant through the lens of complying with an executive order, we would just refer back to the EO and assess if this grant had relation to it.
Okay, but I guess I'm stepping back from your methodology strictly in terminating the grants. Do you have an understanding, as you sit here today, of what the EI means?
Yeah.
Okay, so what's your understanding of what it means?
Well,
what's your definition?
It is exactly what was written in the EO.
Okay, so why is a documentary about Holocaust survivors DEI?
Objection.
It's the gender-based story that's inherently discriminatory to focus on this specific group.
It's inherently discriminatory to focus on what specific group?
The gender-based, so okay. Females... during the Holocaust.
And you believe that that's inherently discriminatory?
I'm just saying that's what it's focused on.
Sure.
But this is related to DEI.
Right. But you just used the term inherently discriminatory. What did you mean by that?
It's focusing on
Jesus.
DEI principles, gender being one of them.
So a documentary that's about women would be DEI.
Objection.
Is that fair to say?
No.
So, why what I just said isn't DEI, but what you just said is DEI?
Objection.
It's a Jewish, specifically focused on Jewish cultures, and amplifying the marginalized voices of the females in that culture. It's inherently related to DEI for those reasons.
King?
It's simple.
Shrimp-a-laz.
How do you interpret DEI?
Shrimp-a-laz, some might say. Wait, another meme? Uh-oh. XQC attempts to clarify Asmongold's controversial take about combat medics.
Still doesn't excuse the double tap. Only reason for that is to kill medical. Well, of course you should kill their medical. Like, if they're helping, of course you should kill their medics. Like, if you have these people that are helping these soldiers that are terrorizing you and fighting against you, you should of course shoot them. Duh. Like, what do you...
Like, again, 12-year-old, right? Like, oh, well, like, you know, if you're fighting somebody and they've got civilians that are building weapons, you should just kill all the civilians, right? Obviously. Well, I mean, of course, duh.
Talking about. That's a war... What? Yes, absolutely. That's a war crime? What do you mean?
So?
The medics? Yes, absolutely.
Chat, I could be wrong, Chat, but I think what he's saying is that if it's not a normal war and somebody's a terrorist, I don't think the rules of war apply. Is this correct or is it false?
They do.
Hey, X, love you. May I get a welcome to the jungle?
Also, how many terrorists have people running around in when they're fighting
medics.
Wars like medic vests or whatever, right? Is this like a thing that Hezbollah is? I know there's a lot of goofy stuff that goes on with Hamas and everything, but like... does he think that, like, if you're fighting terrorists, that you can just do whatever the fuck you want?
False. What? Am I wrong? That's not what it seems like. What? Well, chat, is something a war crime if it's not war?
True.
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 That's the Trump method.
Holy King true. Shit. We're not at war. We can't commit war crimes. King, he solved
it. Was he smiling? Because I need to know if he was trolling or not there.
What? Well, chat, is something a war crime if it's not war?
No, he looks pretty dead serious there.